We're going to turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3. And we're going to read verses 5 to 13. It's a passage that talks about building the church, not building the church the way that we have with bricks and lumber, but building the church in a different way. And we'll see what it takes to build a beautiful church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're just going to start reading in verse 5. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. What then is Apollos, and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. Now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's take a moment and just say a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your work in this congregation. Lord, we thank you for this special group of people and the ministry that has taken place here. Lord, I just thank you for the group that has gathered here this morning to give honor and glory to your name. And as we pause and spend some time in your word, I pray that you would encourage us through the scriptures to serve you and to do the work of the Lord, building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We pray this in the name of our Savior. Amen. Well, our passage this morning is about construction, something we've had the opportunity to witness up close the last year and a half or so. It's been exciting to watch the project unfold from beginning to end. And when we started out and the bulldozer showed up and started digging in the yard, my kids were gazing out the window with excitement and anticipation. And they said, "Daddy, are we building a swimming pool?" I said, no, guys, sorry. Something better. We're building a new fellowship hall. Oh, okay, that's right, I remember. But a pool would be cool. And then the cement trucks came and they poured the foundation. Stacks of lumber were delivered, and the framing began. It wasn't long before the trusses were lowered into place, and shingles were spread across the roof. Things were starting to take shape. And I remember walking around the new space, looking around at the different parts and thinking, wow, this is going to be great. Just imagining what it would look like when it was all finished. And it was so exciting to see the project coming together. What had been drawn by the architect on paper was becoming a reality. And I've learned a lot about construction. This is my first experience with a project like this. And I learned it's not just a matter of picking up some boards and some nails and putting things together. There's a process that you have to follow. There's a procedure that must be taken into account. And part of that process involves inviting the building inspectors to come when you complete a task. And you work on one part of the project, and then you invite the inspectors to come, and they walk around and make sure that everything is according to print. And there's a lot of codes, I discovered, for a building like this. Did you know that there's a certain height that you have to hang the bathroom signs, men's and women, outside the bathroom door? And if you hang it just a few inches too low, you got to take those off and put them up a little higher, or they're not going to pass the test. That's just one of the things I learned. But they were good guys, and I know that their work is so important. Their job is to make sure things are done right. No corners have been cut. You know, everything's been put together exactly the way it's supposed to. The right materials are used. And when they're done, when you're all finished with the project, you have a list of signatures, and at the very bottom, the final signature that gives you occupancy. And I can tell you, when that day came and we got that final signature, Tim and I were high-fiving and hugging, and it was a happy, happy day. Well, in our passage in 1 Corinthians 3, the apostle uses the imagery of construction to teach us about the ministry of the church. And he's not talking about the physical building or the lumber, the bricks, those kinds of things. He's thinking of the people who come together to serve the Lord. God's design is for each congregation to be a beautiful place where his love is experienced and lives are transformed with the gospel. And he challenges us to take part in his work, to come together as a congregation and to serve side by side. And he tells us to consider our labor. If we're going to build a beautiful church, we have to build it the right way. And he lays out several principles in the passage. He shows us, first of all, that we must build on the right foundation. And that's the first step of any project. That was the first step here. Before you start swinging a hammer, before you start raising the first wall, you need to lay a solid foundation. That's the base on which everything else will rest. If you don't get that right, the building will start sinking into the ground and eventually it will collapse. And the same is true for the ministry of the church. In the second part of verse 10, the apostle says, I laid a foundation and another is building on it, but each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And the apostle is thinking back to the time that he spent in Corinth. He was the one who planted the church in that city. When he first arrived during his second missionary journey, he had his work cut out for him. Pagan temples and shrines to different cults lined the streets of the city. There was a statue of Julius Caesar in the center of town, and people worshipped and burned incense and prayed to the emperor as if he was a god. And they worshipped Hera, Zeus, Aphrodite, and a whole host of other deities. But there was no knowledge of Jesus Christ. How would you even begin a ministry in that kind of environment? Well, Paul started with the basics. He told people about the Lord wherever he could find an audience, in the marketplace, in people's homes, and along the streets. He shared the gospel. And before long, there was a small gathering of people who met together, and the apostle spent 18 months with them laying a foundation for their faith. He proclaimed the death, burial and resurrection of Jesus and explained that it's by grace through faith that we are saved. Later on in the letter in 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 and 4, he reminds them, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that was the focus of his message. This was the most important thing. To miss that would be to miss everything. Without the cross, there would be no cleansing from sin. Without the empty tomb, there would be no hope for eternity. The apostle was unwilling to compromise that message, even if it wasn't popular with the crowds, because he realized this was everything. And that must be the foundation for our ministry as well. It was for Pastor Klum, who founded the church almost 80 years ago. When he came to know Christ as Savior, God lit a fire in his heart to tell others about the Lord. He had a passion for evangelism, and he was eager to go wherever the Lord would give him the opportunity. And that remains the focus of our church today. Our ministries need to be Christ-centered. In everything we do, our desire is to exalt the name of Jesus Christ and to carry his light into the world around us. When we have Vacation Bible School this summer, we have the chance to teach boys and girls that Jesus loves them. What a profound message, a life-changing message. Yes, we play games and we have a good time and there are snacks, but it's all about introducing boys and girls to the Savior. When we serve in the food pantry, we have the opportunity to share Christ's love in action. It's a good thing to help our neighbors, and we enjoy seeing the smiling faces as they realize, wow, somebody cares. But we hope that in the process, the seeds of the gospel have been planted. There are a lot of good things that the church should be doing, but if we neglect the gospel, we're missing the most important thing. Maybe you've played the game of Jenga with your family. Anybody familiar with that game? We like it at our house. Jenga is pretty simple. You have a tower of wooden blocks, and you try to build it as high as you can, and you do that by removing different blocks and stacking them on top. But there's certain blocks that you just cannot touch, you cannot disturb, you cannot remove, or it all comes crumbling down, And I don't know why, but the kids always try to take those blocks away. The very bottom block, it's just one. Everything else is like leaning. And then, I can take this one, Daddy. It just comes crashing down to the floor. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is that foundation block that cannot be removed. We cannot build the work of the ministry on any other source except for Jesus Christ. And that's not only true for our ministry. It's also true for our individual lives. If we try to build our lives on anything else, we'll be disappointed. He is the firm foundation. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you growing in your walk with Him? Are you serving Him in your lives? Matthew 7 tells us, and Jesus tells us, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew." The winds blew, right? The winds blew. I'm emphasizing that part this morning. "The winds blew and slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Jesus is the firm foundation. We must build on the right foundation. We must also build together. And I've asked Pastor Matt Amundson to come and to speak to us about the importance of laboring together in the Lord.
As I look through a video that was shown, Russ Herman, I look at Russ, and Russ is a good friend of mine. Having grown up in the Seattle church, I spent a lot of time with Russ and with his son Josh, who's a good friend of mine. Also spent a lot of time with Dan Reed. Dan is very near and dear to us. We've been to Bolivia a couple times on mission trips, and the impact that he's had on my life has been profound. And I think about that from the context of, you know, that sometimes we think our life is just right here in Ada, or our life is just right here in Holland, Michigan. And yet, God has a master plan. We don't often see it. We don't often understand it. I want to share kind of a funny story, and in the end, it's going to bring me down and you up, and that's kind of the key. You wouldn't want it to bring the pastor up and then everybody else down, but I'm not a Buckeye fan, but I am a Washington Husky fan, which was really hard at the Rose Bowl, but we won't get into that. But I share that because back in 2010, we took a group of youth and leaders to Bolivia, and Dan Reed has this Brutus doll on his shelf, and it's about maybe 10 inches tall, and we thought, because I am a little bit of a prankster, and you can ask Pastor Trent some of those details, but we decided to kidnap Brutus. Now, that doesn't sound like something that a pastor would do or a Christian would do, but we love the banter back and forth with Dan. So we took the doll, and then we started taking pictures of it wrapped up in a maize and blue sweatshirt. It's terrible. I mean, we were evil people. And I'm not even a Michigan fan. But we did all these things because we love Dan. We love picking on him a little bit. Well, Dan, we decided that the reward was going to be 3 million bolivianos, which I think translates to about $4.25, which, no, it's much more than that. Well, Dan gave us this certificate for a free breadstick at Sbarro. And he had received that because there was a sign out front that said, "If your name is Dan, please receive your free breadstick," which is very ironic. Dan thought that was special just for him. So, and you can imagine, if you know Dan, that would have been special. So he gave us that breadstick coupon, and we gave him back. We had a lot of fun with that. But in the end, I didn't get the last laugh. I told his mother that we had kidnapped Brutus. I was sitting around the table at Grace Christian University, or I like to call it Grace Bible College, and I'm telling her that we had taken Brutus, and she looks at me with a straight face, and she said, "I can't believe you would do that to Danny. I can't believe a group of Christians would do something like that to Danny. Why? I gave that doll as a special gift to him. Why would you do that?" And at that moment, I felt like this tall. And then she laughed, and I realized that I had been gotten. and that Reed sense of humor just came out. And I share that because it's fun for us to laugh. I think there's importance in us laughing as families, as individuals, as churches, as communities, working together. Now, Levi, my trusty assistant, and I will say he has the reverse problem I have with hair. He's got a lot of hair. I have very little. But he's got a Brutus T-shirt that I'd love to give out to. Now, it's size medium, so if you know it doesn't fit you, that's fine. I can give it to somebody else. It pains me to have spent money buying Ohio State material, but, you know, it's okay. We wanted to give that out. So I've got a question for you that it's going to be maybe hard to answer, and maybe not. Okay, so let's just... Levi wanted to do a riddle, but that would have taken far too long. It's about the Washington Huskies, so you're not necessarily going to know this, but Husky Stadium is on the shores of a lake, and a lot of people take their boats right up to the stadium and park them there. Anybody know the name of that lake? And you can't answer this. You've got to give yourself a T-shirt. Anybody have a guess as to it, what the name of that lake might be? Yeah, anybody? Yeah, who's fastest on Google? Lake Tacoma. It's not Tacoma. Snohomish. Man, we're getting some good names out there. This is great. Husky. Lake Husky. That's. And the water's purple. It's. Seattle is the biggest city in this state. So Seattle, Washington. Who said Washington? Okay. Levi, you're my trusty assistant. Can you give that nice bearded gentleman the T-shirt? He can give it to whoever he'd like. But it is Lake Washington in which people would go to the game on their boats on. So there you go. I share that because Dan Reed has had a profound impact on my life. And you think, sometimes the impact that we have is right here, it's in our family, or it's just in our community, which it is. But it also reaches so far beyond, and sometimes we don't realize that. We read there in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. If you go back just a couple verses, verse 6 says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. Sometimes I think we can think too highly of ourselves and think that we have been the ones to do the work when others came before us or others will come after us. In the end, it's all about God and not about us. But we all play a part. If you could turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, I just want to read quickly on Romans. And we're going to read verses 3 through 6, the first part of 6. So Romans 12, 3 through 6. Starting in verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. I want to stop right there. We all have a part to play. Sometimes we minimize our part. Sometimes we maximize, or we think that they're more important. But we all play a part. Partnership in the grace gospel fellowship is of paramount importance. We have been known through the years to be kind of supporting autonomy or independence, which it is important for the local church to be independent. But it's also important to partner, whether that's with local churches or organizations or churches and organizations around the country and around the world. We're seeing great movement in regions of the GGF where churches are starting to work together. They're starting to have conversations together, and those are bringing about great fruit. And God is the one that brings that great fruit. Turn with me for just, actually, you know what? I want you to close your eyes. Psalm 133 is what I'm going to read. And I want you just to imagine for a moment. Some of us are very creative. We love to work with arts or music or different things, and our imagination can take us a lot of different places. And so I want you just to imagine for a moment just how amazing it is when God's people work together. Psalm 133, it's just three short verses. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. When I think about the amount of oil, you think about Aaron and Moses, and you think of a lot of hair and beards, and that would have taken a lot of oil. And that is just a picture, a fragment of the abundance God blesses us with when we work together, when we work in unison with him. And that's something that has happened here at Grace Gospel Aveda for many years. I hear the stories. I watch the video. I hear from Trent of how you are working together, not just here in these four walls, but throughout the community. And that is something that, as you have this fellowship hall, it is such a blessing. But to be able to use it to reach deep into the community, I would just challenge you to continue that effort of working together. You all have different gifts and talents, and God wants to bless those. So continue working together. And I know Trent wants to wrap things up and kind of bring this home. And so, Trent, I just thank you for the opportunity to share this morning.
Thank you, Matt. Matt and I had many classes at Grace Bible College, now Grace University, and it's neat to be able to do something like this together this morning. First time preaching together like this. It's really neat. Well, I just have one more brief principle to share from our passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The apostle shows us that we must build not only on the right foundation, not only together in unison, but we must build in the strength that God supplies. Again, look at 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10. The apostle says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. And the emphasis here is the first part of that, like according to the grace of God. Throughout his missionary journeys, the apostle Paul planted many churches across the Roman Empire, including the church in Corinth. We might say he was one of the most successful evangelists in church history, and yet he never took the credit for any of that. He never said, look at what I have accomplished, because he understood that it was only by the grace of God that any of this was possible. It wasn't his ability, it wasn't his expertise, it wasn't his eloquence or his leadership skills or anything else, but it was the hand of the Lord working through him. And God continues to work through his people today. And he's given us a mission to fulfill, to share his love with others, to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And sometimes that task can seem overwhelming. It can seem huge. Sometimes we feel inadequate and we wonder, who am I to take part in this work? But we need to remember that it isn't our ability. It is God working through us. A few verses before this, in verse 6, the apostle says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. And he uses the imagery of a farmer to make this point. He says, even the greatest farmer can't make the crops grow, no matter how hard he tries. He could stare at the soil all day long and concentrate and say, I want you to grow. He could shout at the seeds, grow, grow big and strong. But the farmer doesn't make it grow. He does his role. He plants, he waters. He allows the Lord to do the rest. And that is the case in ministry as well. God works through us. I can't change someone's life, but God can. I plant the seed and trust that the Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. I can't mend a broken heart, but God can. We share the love of Jesus and allow the Holy Spirit to do the rest. It isn't what we can do, but it's what God can do through us. He simply calls us to be faithful and trust Him with the results. It's amazing the things that God can accomplish through His people when we allow His Spirit to work among us. We might be a small congregation in a small town, but God can use us to make a big difference in this world if we trust Him. It starts with prayer. Ask the Lord to help you see opportunities to serve Him in our community, and that we would be sensitive to His leading and direction. Pray for the various ministries of our church. Pray for wisdom and guidance, for courage and strength. And then we must seek God's strength instead of relying on our own talents or abilities. When we rush ahead and try to do things on our own, our efforts will not produce lasting results. But when we are empowered by the Spirit of God, all kinds of things are possible. And I think this fellowship hall is an example of that. There are times when we think, boy, I just don't know if we can do this. This project is too big. But if we trust God, He will amaze us. Zechariah 4, verse 6 says, "It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Even a big project like the fellowship hall is possible through the power of God. And that makes us wonder, what else does God want to accomplish through Grace Gospel Church? Well, I'm inspired as I look back and see how the Lord has worked in the ministry of this church over the years. It's exciting to consider what He's going to do in the future. We must continue to build on the foundation laid by Pastor Klum so many years ago when he began preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. We must build together because God has brought us into a relationship with brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that gives us strength. And then we must build in the power that God supplies, knowing that it is by His Spirit lives are changed for eternity. As I think back at some of the people who have been a part of this congregation over the years, we watched that video and I see those faces, and Charity was saying we needed Kleenexes. It almost made me cry seeing some of those people who have made an impact in my life and in your life. And we look back and we think about them and the foundation they laid, the legacy they've left. Think about Pastor Klum and Wilma, their passion for the Lord, their heart for evangelism. I think about Agnes Kreitz, her vibrant faith, her bold witness. I think about Cecil Collins, and she was a prayer warrior. What a legacy. I think of Marge and Howard driving people to Grace Youth Camp for so many, loading up the car with kids, driving up to Michigan to Grace Youth Camp, their love for kids. I think of Linda Vermillion and her joyful spirit and her way with children. I think of Maxine Hetrick, who is always willing to serve. And Tom Gibson is his strong but quiet leadership. And so many, there's so many others. I think of so many ornery people. Sam Tong and Roy Bartlett and so many others. Just the joy of being together, fellowship that we shared. So many people have helped make this church what it is today. And they've left a tremendous legacy, and we are challenged to follow in their footsteps and continue the work of the Lord. This new fellowship hall is a wonderful achievement. It's important to remember the work isn't complete. It's ongoing. The Lord has given us a wonderful tool to use in the ministry in our community. And now we have the facilities, and we must use them for the glory of God, to reach our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so to build a beautiful church, we build on the right foundation. We are Christ-centered. We build together. We are united. We build in the strength of God, Spirit-filled. Let's build.